Your story is waiting for you today. Your story has something new to say. But your story will only come out to play when you're alone. Alone. Alone in a room with invisible people.
The following episode may contain swearing. Alone in a Room with Invisible People is brought to you by hollyswritingclasses.com.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Gallardo, the host of Alone in a Room with Invisible People. I'm here with author and teacher Holly Lyle, and today's topic is, what if I don't have time to write? Before we get to the topic, I just wanted, Holly and I both wanted to say a happy holidays to everyone out there.
Yes. Hey there!
and that includes everybody, from all of the different holidays. There's so many out there, so we just wanted to say just a big old happy holidays and thank you for listening.
Yes, whether it's cold or hot where you are right now.
Okay, so yeah, what if I don't have time to write? This is a common thing that gets said a whole bunch. It starts off with, man, I wish I had time to write, or man, I wish I could write like you, but I just don't have time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes writers actually catch themselves and fix this problem, but the majority of time what we get is people wishing for time that other people magically seem to have. So yeah, let's dive into this.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody has time to write. Nobody. All we have is time. And how you choose to spend it is the biggest part of this thing. If you spend your time doing what matters to you, and that this is, everybody is always talking about what they think they should do. And a lot of people think they should write books. I'm not sure why, but
yeah, even people who don't like to read
books
want to, like, oh, I got this great and magic, just amazing, unique idea. Nobody's ever done anything like it before. But then you also get the people that are like, man, I'd love to write books, but I don't, they don't even read.
Right. Right. And it's like, okay, well, first thing you have to do to write books is be a reader. And it really helps if you have been a reader for a really, really long time. I started when I was 4. Becky started when she was 5.
But you don't have to have started.
You don't have to start.
Even if you started in your teens or early 20s.
Yes, if you are willing to dig in, you can start at any time in your life and become a heavy reader. But what informs what you're able to write about is what you read. But back to time. Guys, let's stay on. I will see if I can keep myself on track here. Nobody has time to write. There is no little part of life that carves itself out for writers and that makes us immune to all of the regular crap that everybody else has to do. We still have to do that too. It's just there are parts of your life that don't matter that you put a lot of time in. And or that you enjoy, or that are fun, or that are kind of numbing your reality a little bit, or
yeah, for some people there are time sucks where they're zombies, and some people they're just fun ways. And I have a friend locally who is going through a master's program right now. Actually, the one who made the shirts for us.
Oh, cool.
And his chosen thing when he has the time. Mm-hmm. Is the video game. Like, there's a particular video game, at least it used to be when he was doing his bachelor's, but now he's going after his master's, and I'm not sure how much time he has.
Right.
But instead of writing or anything, because he's being burnt out with school, he plays video games.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like his release. And that's not the kind of thing that we're pointing out. It's more or less the numbing things, the zombie sit down and watch TV things, right?
Right, which, you know, I did that a lot before I got serious about writing. I played endless games of Free Cell on my computer. I mean, Free Cell I like because every game is winnable, even if it's very difficult to do. And I played, oh my God, I would sit for hours and play that, telling myself that, you know, this is what I'm doing to connect with my muse so that I can get to my writing. And no, it wasn't. But... The thing that that comes this comes down to is a lot of people think they should write but don't want to write. And for you guys, set yourself free. There is no, the world does not need another book. It does not have to have another book. The people who write books are the people who are driven to write books because we have something that we have to say. And if you are just thinking you need to write a book, but you don't have something that's burning inside of you that you need to put on a page, you don't have to feel guilty about that. There is absolutely no guilt to this. You don't want to, if you have a television show that you want to be watching and you are thinking, oh, I should be writing my book, but I want to be doing this, do the thing you want to do, because life is about finding your joy. It's not about being miserable and guilty all the time because you think you should be doing something that you're not doing.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got enough things in life that make it more difficult. You shouldn't make it more difficult on yourself.
Yes, death and taxes but pop into mind as the first two. Yeah.
But it's a good point of what you're saying, and I think a lot of people have writer wrapped up in their identity.
Right.
And because maybe they were younger and they dreamed about it. Like, I wanted to be an actress, but I learned to move on from that fantasy life because there's a lot of that I didn't want to have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about finding what fits you. A lot of people have so much wrapped up in their identity that they don't realize it's okay to say I have a different dream now and kind of figure out what that new dream is, what you want to do, what you are doing tends to show what you want to do.
Right. Right. That's your passion will leave clues. And if it isn't writing, that's okay. I think everybody has within them some passion if they choose to pursue it. But the thing that you are willing to pursue is going to be the thing that's right for you. I didn't pursue guitar, in spite of the fact that I told myself for years I wanted to be a rock and roll star. I didn't pursue art, in spite of the fact that I told myself for years, from the time I was like 6 or 7 years old, that I was going to be a famous artist. And the medium didn't speak to me. Writing did. When I finally landed on that in my early 20s, it was like, holy shit, where have you been all my life?
Yeah, and you struggled for 7 years just to rewrite one book.
Yeah, because I was determined, man. This was the thing that finally connected with my brain and said, yes, we're home. And if that's not the thing that writing is to you, then don't feel guilty about it. Just find the thing that is. Meanwhile, if that is the thing that matters to you, then you have to make it a priority. And that means that the other stuff, the stuff that doesn't matter, the video games that you are doing as just a way to keep your mind quiet, or just to shut down that little voice in your head that's a dick. Everybody has these things, and you catch yourself at them, and you can either stop them or you can just fall right back in. But I don't know. For me, it was seriously Freecell. Oh my God. This was in the days before smartphones and phone apps. So for me, this was just sitting on the computer playing game after game after game after game of Freecell while I was telling myself that I was going to write something. And I didn't. I just played Freecell. And it was because there were things about writing that I was not ready to face. The uphill curve being the big one. That how hard it is to go from the idea that you want to be a writer to writing regularly and publishing regularly, submitting your work, selling your work, or getting your work out to beta readers and fixing it up from what they tell you and then independently publishing it yourself, and finding your readership. That's a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of commitment. And there is a part of your brain that knows this and is going, Freecell, Freecell, we must play Freecell. Because it doesn't...
Mine,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, mine was more, because that's a whole lump of stuff. And because I was raised by you, I knew a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that didn't necessarily intimidate me. Mine was the fear of finding out that I'm not as, not that I ever thought that I was so great, because a lot of the times when I was writing stuff, I was like, oh man, this is shit, or I'm so amateur. But it's just finding out that I suck way worse than I think.
Yeah, that's not fun either.
Yeah, because I already knew it was, traditional publication, you have a very small percentage of getting published, especially on your first go-round. With the screenplays, I knew that it had to be absolutely phenomenal to break through. I know that with indie publishing, you have to have this massive amount of stuff done to start to break through, for the most part.
Right, to even be visible.
Sometimes they're... What?
To even be visible.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes there are exceptions to that, obviously. But the rule is, we publish 30 books to get a couple of sales on a regular basis, or 50 books now. But it was just the fear. Like, I published a whole bunch of indie stuff. It was just shorts. But the books, what kept holding me back from doing the revision was, A, finding out in revision how bad my stuff is, and B, sending this to people, A, you and Matt, and then B, all of these other people that I don't, I either don't know or that I know, and that would be scarier, because people I don't know or know only from online, that's not as scary.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, that can hold you back. That can keep you, because I would feel, quote, uninspired. And even though I knew I should just sit my ass in the chair and freaking write, I would go play Sims 3 or something. And
mm-hmm.
I always did the same thing. I made a me and a Tony, and we had a ton of babies, and I would stay home and write, and he would go be a master chef or a doctor or something. I don't know. That was just fun. But it was like, this makes me feel better. And of course it made me feel better, because I was escaping reality and creating a reality where I was already what I wanted to be.
Right. Right.
It's easy that way.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was the queen of the New York Times bestseller back before I was actually writing regularly, where I would come home from working a 12-hour shift in the emergency room, and I would be just exhausted and frequently sad, because a lot of what happens in the emergency room is really dark stuff. And I would get ready to go to bed, because I had to get up in, just 7 or 8 hours to go back and do another 12-hour shift. And I would see myself at this table, at this signing table, with stacks of books on either side of me and a line of people stretching as far as the eye could see, waiting for my signature on those books. And that was my fantasy. And I held that as the thing that was going to happen someday, because I wanted it to happen someday. And one morning I woke up and say, okay, well, when? When is this wonderful thing going to happen? And the part of me that is a realist said, not until you write the book. And I went, oh, that.
Yeah,
and that was when I started writing the book.
So let's cover, because you're saying that you have to make the time for yourself. So let's cover some examples. Let's talk about you making your time and me making mine, so that people can understand we're not just saying, this from inexperience, like, oh, it's easier said than done. Yeah, no shit, we know.
Right, right. Well, okay, how I made the time when you and your brother were tiny. And I had two kids in diapers simultaneously, because Becky and Mark are only 15 months apart. So that was a challenge. And that was when I decided I was going to start writing, was when I was still pregnant with Mark. So,
but you were also working.
Yeah, right? And I was also working as an RN. I was at that point only working 2 days a week. I was on the blessed hallelujah Baylor shift, which meant that I worked every Saturday and every Sunday and did not miss ever, because if you miss, you don't get paid. And there was no backup or anything, but it was, But I had those 2 days a week where I had to go into the hospital, and then 5 days a week where I was home with the babies. And when they took a nap, I sat down with a 10-minute timer, and I would write for 10 minutes. I would run down the stairs, check to make sure they were both asleep, run back up the stairs, set the timer, write for 10 more minutes, run back down the stairs. And as soon as one of them woke up, and I generally could write for 20 minutes at a time before one of the two of them was back up again. And I wrote a book that way. I wrote my first novel in 10-minute sprints. And when I say sprint, I include the sprint because I was running up and down stairs too. And I wrote a 50,000-word novel. It took me 7 months. And part of it was because I had not yet freed myself from free cell. So I was losing a lot of time to free cell or to whatever video game I was playing at the time. It was some sort of solitaire that you could play on DOS, because that was back in the days of DOS.
Spider Solitaire.
Yeah, it might have been. I don't remember what it was. But you guys, when you inherited that computer, you got the games. So.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, what did you do?
Well, I've got just a couple of different things. When I was working at the travel club, which shall not be named, which was a scam.
Yeah.
People beware of timeshares and travel clubs. It's all BS. So when I was working there, and I had no idea, I was such a naive innocent, they eventually put me on a salary thing, and that just meant that they could work me more. So I tended to work about 60 to 80 hours a week. And it didn't help that my husband was also, at the time, my boyfriend was also working there, because that just meant that I stayed longer and, you know, helped him out or did extra stuff.
Right.
So, that amount of time, we would come home, and because we were new together, it was kind of hard for me to, you know, try to make time by myself, but he always, always supported me. I totally lucked out there. He loved that I was going to film school when we met. He loved, or, you know, after we met, mm-hmm. He loved that I was a creative person, that I liked to write, that, you know, he might end up, you know, regretting it now, looking at the state of my, you know, of my house. All of my creativity has just exploded everywhere, but whatever. But he's just always supported me. So even though we spent an entire day together at work, we had no problem spending an entire night together too. But we would get off around 9 to 11 p.m. And most of the time I tried to write. So a lot of the time I would wait till he went to sleep, which was probably around 12 or noon, and I would get in an hour's worth of writing, or 12, or not noon, midnight or 1. And I would get maybe an hour's worth of writing, sometimes only a half hour. And then I'd go to bed. I would also write. I lucked out there, as I had a job where, as long as I had my work done, they didn't necessarily care what I did. As long as I didn't slack on the phone, slack on any contracts that came in, anything like that, they didn't care. Mm-hmm. So I would get a little bit of time to write at work too, occasionally. I would write on my lunch break.
Were you doing that longhand, yeah, or were you doing that on the computer?
Computer.
Oh, okay.
I was able to email myself whatever I finished, or I would put it in LiveJournal.
Nice.
Because LiveJournal was pretty huge for me. So I got stuff done that way. And then after that, when I was trying to think here, I was a maid. That was even tougher, because I would leave the house. I would be up in the morning between 4:30 and 5, I think, or 5 and 5:30. I don't remember exactly, but it was somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Just to be able to get to work and be at work at 8. I believe it was either 8 or 9. It was 8. Because we didn't have a car. I had to take public transport. And Fort Lauderdale to Boynton Beach is, or West Palm, I don't remember. It's very long. And then I would be there until about 8 or 9, because of the issue with the owners at that place were running me ragged as well.
Yeah.
So then I would get on transport and get home, and it would be about 9:30, 10, or it was, I think I got home at 9 and then I would have to go to bed at 10 to be up again in the morning. So what I ended up doing there was any public transportation I was on at all, even if it was 5 minutes, I was doing longhand. I would write out story ideas. I would write out dialogue, anything that I was working on currently. It was all longhand at that point. And then if I had a lunch break, I was either writing or reading about writing. Sometimes I think I drew jewelry, and because I was making jewelry too, and then that's when we hit Talismana a little bit later, I think, or earlier, I don't remember. But so anytime I had a chance there, and I didn't have very many, because if I was office management, then the owner didn't do a damn thing of work. He had me do literally everything and then complained about everything I did because he's just one of those guys. And then a lot of the times he would send me on inspections, or he would send me on cleaning jobs because we had a maid call out or something like that. Yeah. Those I preferred. I actually preferred to do that kind of work because it's much more satisfying for me than dealing with a jackass. But that also made it a little bit easier because if I went in to inspect and the girls weren't ready and done, I just waited on them. So I would sit there and write. Or if I was cleaning, I'm a very, very fast cleaner. So I would do, you typically break your stuff up into wet work or dry work. And if I was working with a girl that's still my friend, she would pick the wet work because that's what she wanted. She didn't want any help. She was a control freak like me. So I would do my dry work, get it done real quick, sit there and finish. Or just keep writing and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, I found any moment whatsoever to write. And if I got a day or two off on the weekends, which was supposed to be every weekend, but it was very rare, I was writing.
Yeah.
Computer, longhand, anything. I was writing and I was trying to make money on Etsy with my jewelry.
The thing that made this work for both of us, I think, is that we were identifying our ticket out. We were saying, to get the life that I want to live, I have to overcome these hurdles. For me, it was to be with my kids. For Becky, it was to have time to create and to have all of this. She has this amazing, boundless creativity to be able to buy that life and to be able to pay your way through life with what you love rather than with what you hate. And
yeah. And well, it was also because I had dealt with not losing a job, because I've never been fired, but the travel club, when I found out that it was a scam and it started falling apart and they started not being able to pay people and they started borrowing money from their employees. And I started coming to work and the doors were shut because they weren't paying their rent. I was like, okay, this multi-million dollar company who had at the peak like 31 employees getting bank, like making decent money. It turned out the owners were embezzling and spending money on drugs and hookers and stuff. And yeah, when I realized all of that was going on, and it was a slow drop, it was like a drop of realization here and there, but when doors started being locked, that is when I decided, okay, I need to make sure that I'm not working for anybody else ever, because anything can go wrong.
Right.
Somebody can, and how many times are people fired right before their pensions come through?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a scary world. And Tony has not, he has creativity in him, but he's not the same kind of creative. He has this need for giving and this need for being a part of things. But it's not so much the artistic creativity or the writerly creativity. So he can't be a part of building his own thing here.
Right.
His ideal would be to win a large enough lottery to create a business and then run that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, but it was kind of like, okay, I want to take care of both of us, because that was my model growing up, was you were the breadwinner. You were the person 90 or 80% of the time that was paying all of the bills. And that was my ideal. And I didn't see it as a way of a ticket to fame necessarily, I know that that's what you wanted, and that's fine. That's, you know, I think a lot of people, you need some kind of powerful, motivated dream to get you started. And if it's fame, go for it.
Yeah.
You don't know. It might happen.
Yeah.
But for me, it was the ideal of being able to be at home with my best friend, because I was already starting to miss him, because we spent, 5 years, 24 hours a day together. Literally, the only time he had to go on road trips for the business, that's the only time he wasn't around. Every single day, all day, we were together, except for bathroom breaks, obviously.
Yeah.
So it just, that, so I wanted that, and I wanted to be able to do something that I loved, and I wanted to be able to have children and be together, and us, you know, and it just, I never really wanted the fame, but I just wanted the family that, you know, was all together all the time.
Right. That basically, once your father was out of the picture, the family that we had, where we were home together.
Yeah. And it was just us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't any grandparents until we got Matt. When we got Matt, we got his family too,
yeah,
which was nice.
Yeah.
But they still, we don't have the relationship that Joe has with them.
Right.
You know, because we were his, you know, girlfriend's kids. And they were very sweet. They always treated us like family.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, you know, it wasn't their grandkid. So I just wanted to have my own family. And that was one of the motivating factors. I didn't think that I would make a whole bunch of money, because obviously I grew up with an example of how it works.
Yeah, of how that money actually is.
Yeah, but I could see in myself that I was a hard worker, that for every company I've ever worked for, I bust my ass. Until, of course, I realize they're being jackasses and taking advantage of me, and then I'm like, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
But because I have an issue with authority, with quote authority. But I bust my ass for any company. I am the best goddamn employee I can possibly be. And I realized, like, okay, well, how about let's do that for myself?
Yeah.
That's when I started my Etsy shop when we got here. And I busted my ass to be a successful Etsy shop owner. And I was. It just, you know, I had low margin profits.
Yes.
You make time for the things if you have the right kind of motivation, I think, is a big thing, like you were just saying.
That is huge. And it really, in spite of all of my many fantasies of being wildly famous, the thing that actually got my butt in the chair was, I want to be home with my kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that grabs you by the gut and yanks you to the computer and sits your ass in the chair every day is the thing that will get you through the book. And if you don't have something like that, it might not be time to start yet. You know, it's, you have to have a compelling reason to work this hard for no money for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't say how many things I've written that I have never published or anything, but I mean, it is a gigantic amount of words that I have been writing, and I only started self-publishing little stories here and there in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point to this point, I have made a total of about $4,000. So that's 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's self-publishing little stories here and there. It's I had a consistent amount for a little bit, but then again, you know, issues with depression. So we need to have a thing on mental something, an episode with, we can get some other guests on too.
Yeah, well, I think depression is something that affects writers, or at least a pretty high percentage of writers. So yeah. That's,
well, an artist too.
There's
a lot of the more creative, sensitive people that get affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying, you know, like anybody that, it's just that creative people tend to be more sensitive. That's how we are able to move others.
Right.
So, you know, it's just, I think it's an important topic on there.
I think, but, yeah. So, you know, let's mark that as one we pursue at some point in the relatively near future. And we can maybe get some questions from listeners on it too. Let's kind of look then at if you genuinely want to do this, You know, if you are that crazy, and honest to God, this is the best job in the world, but it is not the highest paying job in the world. And if you want to get rich quick, this ain't the way to do it. But if you really want to do this, there are some things that you can do to get your butt in the chair. The first is to figure out, if you really want to write, you can set aside 10 minutes each day, just 10 minutes. And you set a particular time of the day, or you make it matter to you. You give yourself this permission that for this 10 minutes, you're not going to answer your phone. You're not going to answer the door. You're just going to say, screw the world. This time is for me. And for 10 minutes, you sit there and you either write or you do nothing. And that's hard, because if you're left brain, which is in charge of bossing you around, is going to want to play a game, or is going to want to do something at the computer that isn't writing, because it isn't the one that needs to write. Your right brain, your creative self, who has no other outlet except what you are putting in there, in your writing or in your art or in your whatever, your right brain is stuck. It has no words. And if you let the left brain jump in and start dragging you to solitaire or whatever your particular computer addiction is, surfing the internet or whatever.
Or phone apps, phone games.
Yeah. I never think of those because I don't have any on my phone. But yeah, or you know, whatever your little twitch is that keeps you from having to face what you genuinely want to accomplish, then you just sit there and you don't do anything. You sit there with your app open and your hands at the keyboard, and you wait for 10 minutes with a timer going, and you don't move, you don't go pee, you don't get a cup of coffee, you just sit there. And you're either writing or you're doing nothing. And you will start writing, because your right brain is going to want to put words on the page. And when you smack your left brain around a little bit and tell it, nope, you can't do what you want to do, we're going to do what that part wants to do right now, then, you know, sooner or later, you will start getting words on the page.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't like that idea the first time that I think I've read it in one of the things, or you maybe just told me, because I'm a lot like Holly, and if I'm not doing something, I have to be doing something. Mm-hmm. Even when we watch movies and stuff, the majority of the time I have to be knitting and crocheting.
Yeah.
So like, I can't just sit there. And I was having issues with, I guess, like discipline and really putting myself in front of a computer and writing. And at the time, this is a long time ago, I was like, I just have writer's block. And that's the excuse you use. I just have writer's block. But my thing was always that I want to be more like you, and you're very consistent and you are very prolific. And I think this was at the time when I was fighting through, breaking through fan fiction and writing originals. And there was so much that was weighing on me trying to write original fiction that it was just, I used the excuse, I have writer's block. So when I did that, I just forced myself to sit down, because it was in my head that what you said about your fantasy, it was just like, I'm never going to be an original writer if I don't sit down and actually force myself to write.
Mm-hmm.
I think the right brain gets to the point where it's just hiding from you in a way. Maybe it's because you tell it all your ideas are stupid. Maybe it's because you tell it it's you know, you're never going to come up with something original.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever it is. It's kind of sulking. And when you yes. sit there and your left brain is told, no, you're not knitting, you're not... Well, at the time, I didn't even knit or crochet, but I wanted to draw, or I wanted to do something. God, I don't even remember what I used to do. But it wasn't letting me write, and I just sat there, like you told me over AIM. That's how old this is.
Oh, yeah.
And I just sat there with nothing else and kept saying, no, I'm going to do this. And maybe 5 minutes in, which is a long time to sit there and do absolutely freaking nothing. It is horrible. Mm-hmm. My right brain finally got bored to death and just started coming up with something that I could type out on my typewriter. Good God, I can't believe I still have all of that junk. I need to find that and scan it and put it up on the page as a PDF or something.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
It's an old piece of crap kind of story that I was writing specifically when I got stuck and I didn't know what to write on a current thing, or I didn't have an idea that moved me. So I would go back to this piece together piece of crap, no plot, no nothing, just pantsed book.
Yeah, just getting words on a page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that always seemed to pull out my muse. And I think the thing was so bad that the muse was like, I got better ideas. Let's just go.
Nice. Nice. Yes,
so
you can.
Worked.
Yes, you can punish your muse into making it do what you want it to do if you're a little sneaky about it. Yes, I'm going to make you write crap till you write something better.
Yep.
Oh. There are three questions you have to ask yourself. And the first one is a little tricky. It's, why do you think you want to write? And that for me was, I want to become wildly famous and have an entire line of people that I can sign books for. And, you know, I want to have like all the New York Times bestsellers, and I want to be just wildly prolific and incredibly rich. And it turns out that wasn't really what I wanted, but that's the question. Why do you think you want to write? Okay, now, here's the really important question. Why do you really want to write? What about this talks to you? Is it the fact that you have gone through hell and you want to find a way to therapeutically work that into fiction? Is it the fact that you want to stay home with your family? Is it the fact that you want to just touch this part of your brain that has been languishing for ages, and you want to give your right brain and your creativity an outlet that it has never had until now? There are a zillion reasons for really wanting to do this, and none of them I want to get rich and famous, because this is this is the worst way in the world to do that. There is, if rich and famous, I actually used this in The Owner's Tale. The authors, the writers who want to get rich and famous doing this are all the grains of sand in the desert. And the ones who actually get rich and famous doing this are the grains of sand that get picked up in a sandstorm and get dumped into a thimble in the center of the storm.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not the way to get rich and famous, but this is the way to do something you love and are passionate about and are crazy about doing after having done it for 30-some years. More than that now, but just because going to work every day is a blast. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and if there's anybody that can prove that it is a very difficult job, it would be you, with all of the things that you do, and yet you're still completely committed to your website, to your courses, to your fiction, to everything.
I freaking love this. Yeah. It is.
And you love taking things apart and teaching people how to do it too. It's like how your brain works.
Yes. Yes. Well, yes. My dissecty brain. And then the third takeaway on this is, every day, give yourself time in which you write or do nothing. And when you do nothing, do nothing. Sit there until words start coming. And even if for a week or a month you sit there for 10 minutes every day and do absolutely nothing, you will eventually start writing something, just because your right brain says, okay, I surrender. Here, have a story.
All right. So as far as actionable items, I think you pretty much covered it. Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, the first action you have is sit down and take 10 minutes a day, if that. And one thing I've found is that 10 minutes will, like, even if you're having a bad day and you really, really, really don't want to write, force yourself to sit down for 10 minutes. And I've found that 90% of the time, that will lead to another 10 minutes and another 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll help.
Yes. And for me, with my scattered brain, I find it very helpful to have a 10-minute timer to push myself against. And I write to a 10-minute timer all the time because I just write as many words as I can in 10 minutes. I don't censor them. And then I go to the next 10 minutes and I continue writing new stuff. I don't go back and revise. And I don't go back and revise until I have finished a first draft. And it might be a sucky first draft. I have written some of those. But if it's done, it can be revised.
Basically, that's our Christmas holidays episode.
Yes.
So we wanted to, again, just wish everybody happy holidays.
Happy holidays. And I hope that you have a wonderful time. And Yes.
Make it a special day for you no matter what. Whichever day it is, or days, because some of them go on for several days.
Yeah, so. I can envy that.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, thank you very much for listening. We appreciate it. You can follow us on all the socials at AIARWIP. That's AirWhip. That's Instagram and Twitter. And we have a Facebook page, Alone in a Room with Invisible People. You can also find us on our website, alonewithinvisiblepeople.com. You can also type in airwhip.com. That's AIARWIP. If you want to leave us a message or just let us know that you think we're doing really cool work, or, you know, ask us a question, just something simple, you can leave it on the episode that has intrigued you on airwhip.com or alonewithinvisiblepeople.com, and just let us know what you think. If you want to get into the conversation, we have forums now for the podcast. You sign up at hollyswritingclasses.com for your free account. It is because pretty much a private forum. We don't just let anybody come in. You have to have a membership, even if it's a free membership to the site. And you go into the forums, it is clearly marked Podcast Alone with Invisible People. And you can go in there and have a conversation with anybody. We've got some really good conversations going on. Our members are amazing. They're so nice. They're really good people, and they will definitely make you feel welcome. We also have a Patreon now. It is on patreon.com, Alone with Invisible People, or Alone in a Room with Invisible People. We, you know, if you feel like we deserve a couple of bucks for what we're doing, we've got three tiers. It's, I think, $1, $5, and $9. And currently there are no rewards, but we are looking at rewards in 2019. If you would rather do a one-time donation, if you go to alonewithinvisiblepeople.com, on the right-hand side, there is a drop-down menu. There is three levels. It's like $5, $10, and $15. It's basically a buy me a coffee, but we couldn't get the actual buy me a coffee because they don't work with PayPal.
Yeah.
And the last thing is our books for reviews. Holly has a book called Squig Studies. It's set in Svetled Space. I have a book called Good Bones. It is a paranormal kind of short story. And we are offering them for iTunes reviews. So if you leave us an iTunes review, just let us know. You can screenshot it or just tell us your username. We will verify that you left it. And we keep up with each one, so don't try to claim somebody else's username. Just leave the review yourself. And we will send you the ebooks. So I think that is it. I'm going to say happy holidays again and goodbye, Holly.
Happy holidays from me too. Have a wonderful season, and we'll see you in the next episode.
And now a word from our sponsor.
You want to write, you love words, you love fiction, but you don't know where to start or how to middle or where to finish. I do. I'm Holly Lyle, and I've been doing this professionally since 1991. And I know how I did what I did to go pro, and I'll be happy to show you what I've learned. Start with my free 3-week flash fiction class at hollyswritingclasses.com.